Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by Avant Card. Get Ireland's first personalised pricing rates made for you.
Right, as you'll know, James Bond is an extraordinary physical specimen. He can endure torture, poison, beatings, extremes of hot and cold while carrying out all sorts of demanding physical stunts. But the hardiest part of 007 is his liver. A study of his films has found that James Bond is usually half cut in those life-threatening situations and probably has a bit of a problem. On the line is Dr. Peter Scarborough from Oxford University. Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon.
Now, the study, and there was a group of you, an international group of academics who conducted this study. So was it based on all the films?
Yeah, all 24 films, yeah. So basically we watched all 24 films. We just recorded every time we saw Bond drinking, had an estimate about how much he drank, and then kind of totted it all up and tried to work out whether that resulted in a definition of a drinking problem or not.
Right, okay. So on average, how much does he drink per film?
Oh, on average per film, it depends. It's a lot of spikes, a lot of lows, and it's a lot. Is simply the kind of answer there. The highest drinking in any film was in Quantum of Solace, where he's flying to Bolivia and he knocks back six extremely heavily alcoholic cocktails and drinks an amount that kind of basically puts him about at least 10 times over the limit and an amount of alcohol that would take him at least 24 hours to metabolize.
Good God. And the six cocktails, these are the Vespers, the one that he...
The Vespers, yeah. And they're quite well described in that particular scene about how they're kind of put together, and they're not for the faint-hearted.
Right. Okay. Now, and typically, so in typically speaking, in the kind of story arc of a James Bond film, does it seem to be the case that he consumes alcohol and then does one of the many, many things you shouldn't do after you've consumed alcohol?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, the ability of James Bond to be able to kind of shake off the effects of alcohol is really quite extraordinary. So from heavy alcohol drinking sessions, he will go on to do things that are very often advised not to be done while drunk, driving being an obvious one, operating heavy machinery, deploying gadgets, getting into life-threatening situations, the kind of run-of-the-mill stuff for James Bond, but you think it would be kind of easier if he could do this with a clear head.
Yeah. Now, I mean, at the same time, though, it says that on average, now it is an average, that's true, 4.5 drinks in each film, which doesn't sound like that much, given that, I suppose, each film is spread over a period of a few days.
Yeah, well, this is true. And we have to kind of make estimates about exactly how much is drunk by each different characters and how much is drunk in each individual kind of session. And there are, like I say, peaks and troughs. There are certain films where he's kind of in a more relaxed kind of situation. He's not drinking quite as much, but in a lot of them, he's drinking quite a lot. And I think we've probably made quite conservative estimates. So if we have the bit in Skyfall where he's in the bar, for example, with the scorpion, so we're only making an estimate there about the actual drink that we actually observe of him drinking, but I think it's probably clear that he's probably had a few before we actually get onto the scene.
Right, okay, because we can infer, it's probably just what we see. It would be repetitive if we saw every single drink he had.
Exactly, I mean, it'd be a different film entirely, I think, but yeah. Quite an interesting one. It'd be kind of like With Nail and I, but with James Bond.
Have we ever seen James Bond drunk in any of his films, by the way?
Not really, no. He's got a good capacity to remain very level-headed. I think that the moment where it's like closest to say, okay, well, you can kind of see he's a bit drunk here, is on that Quantum of Solace scene where he's flying over to Bolivia. He can see there that he's kind of a bit shaky, he's a bit blurry-eyed, but he still is able to hold a remarkably frank conversation with Mathis. So he's certainly, I think if I had drunk the amount of drink that he had drunk, it would be a very different picture.
And given that thus you're looking at a Bond movie spanning decades and attitudes towards various things have changed during that time, has his drinking even declined in more recent movies?
No, there's no evidence of that. So we looked at that and we looked at seeing if there was any kind of temporal trends in any of the kind of patterns of drinking, and remarkably we didn't see any of that at all. So perhaps kind of some shifts in towards different types of drinks, so it's kind of shifting away from martini drinking towards more beer drinking in the later films. And one of the things that we did notice, there's definitely an increase in product placement in the later films. So companies buying in their products to be placed in the films in the alcohol that Bond drinks. But we didn't really see any particular trends in the amount of alcohol that consumed, either by Bond or by any of his the henchmen or the bad guys or the girls. girls.
Yeah. Now, the possible effects upon them. Now, obviously, as you know, we all know, we've seen him. He's obviously an extraordinarily fit physically. But presumably this must be having an effect on his alcohol. Is it ever mentioned that his alcohol mightn't be in the best shape?
Yeah, well, it certainly is. I mean, there are a couple of mentions here, especially in the Pierce Brosnan's ones. They'd like to point out a couple of times that his liver's in rather a shocking state. But whilst it's mentioned, and they think, well, okay, this might be someone who needs to kind of have a look on the alcohol that he's consuming. Maybe this will be a concern for whether he's in a good enough shape to be a kind of a secret agent. It's actually usually, you know, there's no actual evidence of that in the portrayal of the action in the film.
Yeah. Now, but given the variety of the things he drinks, and he does enjoy a glass of champagne, that as I understand it, that should have had a pretty severe effect upon his teeth over the years.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that's certainly the case. But then, having said that, I mean, he's been in films since 1962, so he's looking quite good for his age anyway.
Yeah.
So I think that's the kind of more remarkable thing, rather than the kind of quality of his teeth with the amount of alcohol that's consumed.
Plus, also, I mean, he gets knocked out a bit, and that, you know, getting knocked out and knocking back a load of martinis isn't a good combination.
Oh yeah, certainly. My favourite bit on that definitely is in Casino Royale, where he's passed out. He's had digitalis put into his martini, the dirty martini scene, and he has to rush to the car and give himself a defibrillation. And Vesper is there, and she kind of connects the defibrillator and pops his heart back open. And the first thing he does is opens his eyes, and he asks her if she's okay, and she's like, "Yeah, well, I'm fine." And he runs back in and immediately gets himself another martini and gets back in the card game.
Yeah. Now, you do make recommendations, obviously, because, you know, you can't keep this stuff up forever. Now, in terms of the workplace culture, because we even see when he goes back to London and he goes into M's office, first thing she does is offer him a drink.
Oh yes, yes. This is shocking behaviour. We would frown upon it completely. This is enabling work culture that the MI6 should look at, definitely, about enabling the alcohol use of their operatives. It's appalling.
Yeah, and plus also, I mean, the report does talk about like alcohol is fetishized in the movies, and perhaps the movies should explore some of his other areas of interests.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Well, I mean, it's absolutely clear that that Bond is an expert in drink. He's a bit of a snob with most things, so he likes the things. He likes the best things in life. It's clear on a number of occasions he will demonstrate a vast knowledge about the drink that he's drinking. There's a bit in You Only Live Twice where he sneers at the vodka because it's Siamese vodka that he's drinking, for example. And we know that he's got other interests as well. He's surprisingly quite a keen knowledge in Lepidoptera. So maybe he just needs to move over to kind of butterfly collection, and this will solve his addiction to alcohol.
Yeah, and based on your observations, you know, in the DSM and the way all these things are kind of quantified, he is an alcoholic?
I'm afraid so. There is only, of all we put what we observed his activities against a scale that's often used to check whether someone might have an alcohol problem. And there's a check sheet basically with 11 different criteria, and I'm afraid that Bond meets 10 of those 11 criteria. The only one that Bond hasn't shown any kind of aspects of is whether alcohol consumption impairs his ability to do his job, whether it impairs his ability to kind of function physically, and I don't think we saw any evidence of that.
Yes, but at the same time, obviously there must be a connection with all the stress he's under and all the alcohol he's knocking back. And do you have recommendations as to how to perhaps reduce that stress for him?
Well, it's got to be mindfulness, surely. Breathing,
yes.
Exercises. This is a much healthier way to kind of cope with that stress. I'm sure if you know, the next time that, like, sort of Dr. No or someone equivalent has got him strapped in a uncomfortable position, if he just remembers his mindfulness exercises, I'm sure he'll be in a much better, more healthy position.
Yeah, and plus, does he need to kill all these people?
Well, very, very debatable. He's doing it for all the rest of us. That's what I like to think. But best not to look too deeply into Bond's moral compass, I think.
Yeah, somebody's texted in to say a 00 pisshead at your service. Peter, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Dr. Peter Scarborough. He's Associate Professor at Newfields Department of Population Health at the University of Oxford and co-author of that particular study.